Hey there, and welcome back to the Mini Weekend. I'm your host, Jack. Let's get into it, Mini. Wow, soda of the podcast. So what did we go with? I apologize, I'm not really sure what happened there in my brain right just then. What do we go with tonight? We went with one of the other three sodas over from Lift Bridge Soda Co. We did the black cherry soda, and gosh, I gotta tell you guys, they only have four sodas. This is the second one we're doing of theirs. All four of their cans look super cool, and truthfully, I think I mentioned this before, I've always been a fan of the cherry flavor or black cherry flavor, so I was pretty excited for this. And I gotta say, I really like it. Excuse me, I really like it. I think it's not too much in your face. It very similar to the cream soda that we did, which I was kind of surprised with how light that was. Still very light. I gotta say, I'm looking forward to, at some point, trying the other two, and I think they're gonna be great. I think going forward, these Lift Bridge Soda Co's are honestly gonna be some of my favorite sodas. So, with that, yeah, so like I said, a couple weeks, I think about a month ago, we did the Mini Donut Cream Soda from there, and kind of liked it, didn't love it. First, before we get into all that, Lift Bridge Brewery, they do their even though they have a separate website for their Lift Bridge soda company, they do kind of everything at the same location, at their Lift Bridge Brewing, located in Stillwater, right off of Tower Drive there. Literally a block off of 36 and kind of right smack dab between Stillwater Boulevard and Greedy Street. I don't think you can get off on Greedy Street, but it's kind of, yeah, right there. And I gotta say, I think I brought this up before. I'm a little disappointed that they're not right on the river. I'm sure at some point or in the past they've looked into getting right on the river. That's neither here nor there, though. Like I said, I really like this. One of the things I think I pride myself on for you guys is trying these and trying to have an unbiased opinion. Yes, I generally like these black cherry and cherry flavor things. But again, I don't think the flavor is too much in your face. It's light. There's not a ton of syrup. I guess kind of on the aftertaste, it's not thick, but it doesn't taste as light as the initial sip. But I think it's refreshing. It's definitely something to sip on once it's starting to get warm out here for gall's sake, finally. But yeah, I really like this one. Before we get into the rating and wrap up soda of the podcast, as a reminder for all of you guys, you can check out some information on their sodas by going to liftbridgesodaco.com, their actual website of Lift Bridge Brewery. Will give you all the information about the distiller or the brewery and events that they got going on there. They do have a location I've mentioned before in New Richmond, so they will show stuff for both locations, but they got some cool stuff coming up here. Looking at their website, the 10th, 24th, 30th, and 31st are the only days that they don't have something going on, so they either got trivia, happy hour, stuff going on, so yeah, check it out. They have a little less going on so far as of right now at the New Richmond Taproom. But definitely go check out the Stillwater area as it's beautiful and it's finally starting to get nice out. So yeah, and gosh, I really like this. And the more I drink it, I start to get less of the blackness of the black cherry taste and just kind of a cherry. So I really like it. I'm gonna go 9.6. I think not just Liftbridge. This has to be one of my favorite, if not my favorite, soda we've done on the podcast. Excuse me. So yeah, that's what we got for you guys. Before we go, lastly, Monday through Thursdays are open 2 to 9 p.m. Fridays noon to 10, Saturdays 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. and then Sundays on noon to 6. So go check them out. You can find them. Excuse me, you can find them on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok as well, and Liftbridge Brewery Co. brewery.com. Before we get into Tommytown, I had a question last week. I think it was from, I think her name was Emily. We got the mini weekend March Madness Bracket Challenge up and going, so go check that out. Excuse me. Once again, super easy to get there. Go to ESPN.com. If you look at the top banner, hover over Fantasy, scroll down to Men's Tournament Challenge, login, whatever, and then under Groups, you're gonna want to search the mini, and I think by the time you're done typing MINNY, it'll be the only one coming up. Join the group. Same thing we've done the last 2 years. You can do up to two brackets to win. Prize payouts will be based off of how many people we get. Once again, like we did the last 2 years, as well. And yeah, once again, I had somebody reach out to me today. Actually, it was shouldn't say someone, my sister. And I just want to let everybody know there is really no deadline. The tournament will tip off on the 21st at like noon. So I would recommend getting your picks in by then. If you don't get them in by then, there's going to be I apologize for that. There's going to be about eight to 16, now I think 8 to 10 games that you won't be able to guess. So like I told my sister, there's really no deadline to get them done. The earlier you get them done, the better, because the earlier you get them done, the more points you have to get. So I would recommend, I think conference stuff is coming together this week. So yeah, I think sometime between, what's that, today's the 7th. So probably, I think next weekend they'll do the selection for what everybody gets. So I would recommend doing them next weekend. If you're somebody that you just kind of do them at random, I think you can start filling them out now if you want to. So go join, and I can't wait to get March Madness going here. So Tommytown for the men's hockey team. This weekend was kind of historic for our men's hockey team as they finished the season, sorry, second in the CCHA standings with a 14-18-2 overall record, 12-11-1 in CCH play. For the first time ever, they will host a Mason Cup playoff best of three series in the Division I era, as they will host the number 7 Lake Superior State Lakers, who finished 15-8-1 overall and 11-12-1 in CCHA play. So needless to say, the first 7 seeds in the CCHA this year were separated by 3-4 points total, I think. The series first game will take place tomorrow on Friday, March 8th at 7:07 p.m. Game 2 will be on Saturday at 6:07, and if necessary, game 3 will be at 6:07 on Sunday. All three games will be in Mendota Heights, and you can go to the team page on TommySports.com to get tickets as well. It's also worth noting in the regular season, these two teams met up just twice, both of them coming in Mendota Heights, with the Tommies winning the first of two, 4-2, and the second, the Lakers winning 3-1. So a huge congratulations to them, and can't wait to see what happens. Should be a pretty competitive series, I would imagine. And should they be able to come away victorious, they would face the winner of the series between the number 3 Michigan Tech Huskies and the number 6 Bowling Green Falcons. So can't wait to see what happens there. As for the women's team, this last weekend their season unfortunately ended as the Wisconsin Badgers won the WCHA first round series against them 2-0. In Friday night's game one, the Tommies were able to keep it close as Lauren Stensley scored later in the second to make it a 1-2 game, and a period later, she would score again to make it 2-3. Unfortunately, the Tommies just weren't able to get that tying goal as the Badgers got an insurance goal late in the third to win it 4-2. Unfortunately, Saturday's game two was just a little bit different as the game's first 41 minutes saw six straight unanswered goals from the Badgers as they asserted their dominance in game two. A couple minutes later, after that sixth goal from the Badgers in the third period, Maddie Jurgensen would erase the Badgers' shutout bid, scoring the Tommies' lone goal of the game. Before Wisconsin would add three more goals to make it a 9-1 season-ending loss for the Tommies. The women's team finished the season with a 10-26-1 overall record and 4-23-1 in WCHA play. Even though the season was ended short, it was once again a successful year for the women as they improved by 2 wins from last previous year. So a huge congratulations to them. That's huge. It doesn't matter if you get one or additional win or 2 additional wins or 10. Improving this early on is integral. So congratulations to you guys. With the season ended, the Tommies will look to take another step forward as they have another incoming, really good freshman class. But they only have 4 seniors on this team and 3 graduate students on their 29-player roster. So it'll be interesting to see kind of what happens here. In between the pipes for the women's team, both Calla Frank and Olivia King picked up 5 wins apiece, while Calla Frank had a little bit better of a save percentage, standing at .887, while the goals against average favored Olivia King, who held a 3.78 goals against average. As for the women's skaters, freshman Ella Berger led the team with 11 goals and 24 points. Fellow freshman Riley Bartz was right behind her as the only other player with double-digit goals and 20-plus points, as she finished with 10 goals exactly and 23 points. Lauren Stensley had 8 goals, while both Maddie Brown and Abby Promsberger finished with 6 goals apiece. And then Nicole Valario was third on the team with 15 points. Maddie Brown had 14. So, like I said, I think it's safe to say this women's hockey team is in good hands with many younger classmen making their marks this year and this early in their careers. So yes, once again, a huge congratulations to the team on a great 2023 campaign. Now, as I mentioned, the men and women's basketball teams are gearing up for Summit League play. The men's team finished the team the season, like I mentioned last podcast, on a high note, winning their game. They secured the fourth seed and will take on the North Dakota State Bison Sunday, March 10th at 6 p.m. And they'll be looking to give the number one seeded Jackrabbits run for their money, similar like they did to Oral Roberts last year. Oral Roberts really fell off as they had the eighth seed, and they will be playing South Dakota tomorrow night, March 8th, to play the Jackrabbits on the 9th. So, yeah, the Tommies hope to kind of replicate and even do a little bit better than they did last year as they took Oral Roberts to the final minutes in the conference semifinals, just mere minutes away from the championship game. So yes, the Tommies will be playing to play the winner of whoever wins between Oral Roberts and South Dakota, and the South Dakota State Jackrabbits. Excuse me, the last actually info that we have or news to report on for the men's basketball team this time or this week for you guys is we have Raheem Anthony and Parker Bjorklund were named to the All Summit League second team. So a huge congratulations to both of them. They both were named like I said, to the second team. While Anthony is also a member of the Summit League All Newcomer team, Bjorklund earned his second consecutive nod to the league's second team. While Anthony joins Andrew Rohde as back-to-back selections to the newcomer team for St. Thomas. Bjorklund, who is a graduate student from Chaska, led St. Thomas in scoring with 13.5 points per game and is fourth in the Summit League in field goal percentage and 10th in total field goals attempted. While Anthony is a graduate student from Chicago, Illinois, and is second for St. Thomas in scoring overall, but has led the team during the conference part of the schedule with 14.6 points per game. He also posted 19 double-digit scoring games with 420-plus point games for the team. So a huge congratulations to the both of them, and can't wait to see how this team fares against North Dakota State, and can't wait to hopefully see them make some noise, even more noise this year in the bracket. And as excuse excuse me, as for the women, they garnered the number 5 seed in the Summit League tournament. Very similar, playing in the same game essentially that the men's will. They will face number 4th South Dakota in the quarterfinal round. Excuse me. So a huge congratulations to them. They will be waiting to play either number 1 South Dakota State or the winner of the Kansas City Omaha game. I think they play earlier in the day tomorrow. So a huge looking forward to watching these games and listening to them as well. And then also very similar to the men's team, as this is the time of the year, both Jade Hill and Amber Scalia garnered all Summit League honors, which is a huge deal. They are the first Tommy women's duo named to first and second or honorable mention team in the Division One era. Jade Hill is from Minneapolis, Minnesota, and she put up some big numbers this year. She averaged 13.5 points per game, scoring a career high 406 total, with 96 rebounds, 126 assists, and 57 steals. In addition to leading the team, she played in minutes played per game, and she led the Tommies in total assists. Excuse me, which is huge. And then Amber Scalia from Stillwater, Minnesota, was ranked in the top 5 in the conference for points per game from the start to finish. As a sophomore, she broke the Division I program record for single season points, scoring a team-leading 498 during the regular season to average 16.6. And she did this thanks to a 407 shooting percentage from the floor, including 33.3% from 3-point range. So really awesome to have these two gals on the team, and hopefully they can bring home and make that next step like from last year, just like the Tommies. They lost in the first round last year. Hopefully they can get that win and get that first win under their belt. So before we get on to our Before we get on to our professional sports, we got a lot of questions to answer tonight, but want to give another quick shout out to the MSHSL state tournaments. First and foremost, want to give a huge congratulations to the Warroad girls hockey team as they won the 2024 class a single A championship. Their fifth title total. And they're third in the last 5 years, which is pretty, pretty remarkable. And then Edina Hornets won the class AA championship. This is their fifth in school history, and their first since 21, so 21, 22, 23, 24, what's that? They've won two in the last 4 years, so huge congratulations to both of them. But yes, we also have another state tournament, if you didn't already know, the tourney, starting up this week for the men's team. Class single A started last night, so first wanted to give a quick shout out to the single A teams. So the number one seed this year went to the Hermantown Hawks, and they took on the Alexandria area Cardinal team and beat them 6-0 last night. The second seed went to the Warroad Warriors, who beat the New Ulm Eagles 8-1 yesterday. Number three went to St. Cloud Cathedral, who dispatched of Northfield 5-1. And then the 4 and 5 seeded game went to Monomedi, who was number 4, and Orono number 5. Monomedi came away victorious in that game, 5-2. So really, really good hockey so far. Hopefully these next three games are a little tighter. I think Monomedi is still playing for a back-to-back bid. While Warroad, St. Cloud Cathedral, and Hermantown, I believe, have all won a state championship within the last 5 or 6 years. So it'll be an interesting next couple of games for them. And then for AA, the teams that made it. So like usual, we're actually doing this podcast later. So we already know our Final Four teams. And with that, the Edina Hornets got the number one nod, with the Minnetonka Skippers getting bounced by the Chanhassen Storm. So Edina dispatched last night of unseeded team Elk River Zimmerman 6-2. The number two seed went to Chanhassen, who beat Rochester Century John Marshall 7-0. Then the number three seed went to Centennial, who actually got upset by Crete and Durham Hall. Crete and Durham was actually down 3-0 at one point, and Crete just crawled back and beat Centennial. Oh my gosh, I can't remember. I think it was in overtime. Can't remember though. I'm pretty sure it was in overtime. So Creighton and Chanhassen will play tomorrow night at 6 p.m. And then the 4-5 game came down to White Bear Lake area getting the 4 seed, and Grand Rapids getting the 5 seed. And man, the ending to that game was insane, to say the least. And with Grand Rapids upsetting White Bear Lake area, this their White Bear's streak continues. If you don't know what I mean, White Bear Lake boys hockey team have not won a quarterfinal game at state since 1945. So pretty insane. So Edina will play Grand Rapids tomorrow night at 8 o'clock. So those are the Final Four teams vying for a state championship. And I'm pretty sure Minnetonka won the whole thing last year, so there will be no nod. This Chanhassen's first time in the tournament, so they're looking to get their first title and their first appearance. Creighton, I don't know if they've won one. If they did, I think it was back in the early 2000s. Edina has won recently. It's been a couple years though, and I don't think it's been a while for Grand Rapids, so it should be interesting to see what shakes out there.